Tomorrow afternoon, the 131st edition of the Battle for the Bronze Turkey, Knox College, Monmouth College. This game will be over at Monmouth tomorrow. And joining us here this morning, as we do each Friday morning during the regular season, Knox College head football coach Damon Tomeo joining us. Coach, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Warm inside the building today, Tom. Thank you for that. Outside, a little bit cooler.
Did you guys run at 6:30?
We were trying to go outside at 6:30 today, and NCAA low temp at 15 said we could not practice, and the temp outside was 14.
I'm sure the guys were happy.
We went inside today.
They were still up and practicing.
Yeah, they're already awake. We might as well get the practice in.
Might as well do it then.
Yeah. Right. No, I it's amazing how temperatures have changed and really how it's going to affect some of these games that are this weekend.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit first off about last week, Cornell, your homecoming game. Oops. I know you had some disappointments in that. Some mistakes that you don't normally make, and really that were the difference in the game, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. We dropped a kick return, and Cornell had a chance to score on that play. We gave up a fake punt. It seems like every time we turned around on special teams, we were blundering. Missed a field goal. We could try to convert on a fake punt, and we didn't convert. I mean, just it was one little thing after another for us. And in a tight game, you can't do that. And Cornell played well, and and we just didn't play well enough to win that game for us on last Saturday. We had a good crowd, and it was a good game, but not in our favor.
Yeah, I didn't do my homework this morning. I did not even look to see what happened between Monmouth and Chicago last week.
Oh, crazy ending up in Chicago. Goes to overtime. Monmouth gets the ball, scores very, very quickly on just a couple plays. So they kicked it. They're up by 7. Chicago overtime rules, so everyone gets a possession. Chicago goes down the field, scores. They choose to go for 2 at home for the win. And not only do they run a play, they throw the ball to their left offensive tackle of Chicago, who then runs into the end zone. Nick Myler comes out of the safety position and smashes him at the goal line. The O-lineman fumbles. Extending the ball in, no score, Monmouth wins.
Wow.
Amazing game.
That is a crazy one. So obviously they have to come up and tell the official the lineman's receiver.
No, this isn't the NFL.
They don't.
If you throw the ball backwards, you're allowed to do it.
Okay,
and so they threw the ball backwards. They kind of sprinted right, threw it back left. And I don't know why Chicago did it. They were moving the ball on offense. They have a very good offense, especially in the red zone. And it's one of those plays that, there you go. So they took their chances. So Monmouth right now, irregardless of the result tomorrow, Monmouth has poised themselves in a position as the number one team in the South Division. Tomorrow also Lake Forest and St. Norbert playing for the North Division champion. That game will be played next weekend in the South. It'll be at Monmouth hosting. So Monmouth will play Norbert or Lake Forest for the conference title.
You still like to put that blemish on their record, though. And this is an interesting, a little bit different Monmouth team that you're not going to see them throw the ball nearly as much as they have in the past.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely a different team, but still a very good team, and they know how to win, and they're at home playing very good defense, as they always do, kind of in their trademark, and their offensive line is phenomenal. Running back game is phenomenal. I think their weakness still is the quarterback position, and they've seen that all season long, and but they've been able to minimize that with their ability to run the ball, and they took an offensive lineman and made him a tight end. I mean, for gosh sakes, Tom, he's still listed as an offensive lineman in the roster. Yeah. He's wearing an eligible number, and he's their sixth guy out there playing tight end. So they're finding ways to move the ball and stay in games and win them. And it's been impressive just to watch them do that this season. But it's always fun. Bronze Turkey Bowl, 131 years these teams have been playing. Throw the records out, and let's go play some football.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The obvious is, you know, that you can't make the mistakes against a good team, especially a good defensive team. And they're gonna have the possession a lot, especially running the ball a lot. So What are the other keys for you then? What are you looking obviously you have to move the ball on the ground.
We got to score. If this game comes down to a 10-7 game, that's going to be real tough for us because they can play defense. So I think we're going to have to score on offense to be really key. Eliminate the self-inflicted wounds like we did to ourselves last week. And we just got to contain the run game. And we know that they can do it, and we kind of have a good idea what they're going to do. But it's going to be important for us to stay consistent in our run defense.
All right, so Knox Monmouth tomorrow afternoon. Is it a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock?
1 o'clock kick.
1 o'clock over at Monmouth, and always a great atmosphere. I was just talking with Tyler about that when he was going to over there to that other school. He enjoyed the games at both over here and over there, and it's just great for the fans too.
Absolutely, it's great for the community. I had to dig back in the records because I was trying to find some rare obscure history fact. Knox Monmouth, 1888 was the first game. Knox won 15-0.
Really?
Got to wonder how they got to 15-0. Yep, 1888, and that they kept score that long. It's great. It's great to think. You know, there's been 10 ties in the history of the game. 10 ties.
Really?
Which now in the new NCAA rules, you have tiebreakers then over time, so you don't see that. The last tie was 7-7, 1973. Starting linebacker for Knox College at the time, one Dave McKillop.
Really?
Now assistant coach on our Knox staff. And
brand new knees.
And brand new knees. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Which you've been hearing a lot about lately on commercials.
So, 1888, this is 131 years they've been playing. If you see Bill Allison around town this week, just ask him about what the first few games were like because he was there as a witness. So
yeah, and did they take Stagecoach from here over there and vice versa? Is that, you know, those type of things?
You got to wonder about that a little bit. Yeah.
And Bill would know.
Bill would know. Bill would definitely know. Yeah. No, it's just such a neat game for our guys to be a part of. The atmosphere, and they know we're all part of history when something like this happens. And it's always an exciting game. There's always some fun plays that occur. And we call them, you know, gadget plays. There's always a few gadget plays going on in a game like this.
Well, and wear your purple, get over there, or wear your red if you're a fan of the other ones, and it should be a great atmosphere. I got the purple on this morning.
Appreciate that, Tom. You got the purple on today.
Yes, I do. I do. All right. Knox College head football coach Damon Tomeo joining us here this morning. Man, there is a schedule this week. Okay, I want to talk first off about the polls, because you got the AP poll, you got the coaches poll, but now you've got the playoff poll, which completely changed it up. So AP and the coaches, you've got LSU and Alabama 1 and 2, as it's been for a while. The coaches have Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. Now the playoff poll has come out. Ohio State 1, LSU, Bama 2 and 3, and then Clemson 4. What's going on with that?
I am so happy you asked me that, because I actually looked into it. I'm thinking Tom's going to ask me a question I'm not prepared for. Clemson's strength of schedule is not helping them. The other schools all have some signature wins against other ranked opponents, and they've shown it. Now, why Ohio State's 1 and LSU or Alabama's 1, 2, 3, I'm not sure, but justifying Clemson in their spot in 5 I think makes sense. But as we talked this time of year, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
because so many of these things are going to get played out on the field in the coming weeks.
Like tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow is the big one. Penn State's going to find out how good Minnesota really is. But LSU, Alabama, 2, 3, 1, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
One of those teams is going to put themselves in position, and one of them is going to get knocked out on the outside looking in. Alabama still has Auburn late in the season in the Iron Bowl. It's going to be a tough game for them. The thing about Clemson right now, get ready, their big schedule, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, a bye week, and then South Carolina. That's why they're number 5, guys. They're just not playing the competition that some of these other teams have to play. LSU, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, and then finishing with a ranked Texas A&M team. Ohio State has played well this season. Maryland and Rutgers, they're going to roll them over. But Penn State's on the horizon, as is, as they say, the team up north known as Michigan, which is still a team that's in the top 25 and will play in a significant bowl game this year. So there should be some really good fun weeks coming up in the next couple, and tomorrow is a really good start of it.
Well, and Wisconsin, Iowa, 16 and 18 tomorrow. That'll be a great matchup. So say Iowa wins that one. Minnesota, if they get a win over Penn State, and they could maybe get a win over Iowa, are they able to push themselves up into that top 5?
You got to think they're in that conversation. They're going to be close. It's going to be close. And then it's a question of who loses. When you have undefeated teams and you have one loss teams, it is hard to put a one loss team ahead of an undefeated team, unless the one loss is to a team above them. But most of the one losses are teams below them.
Yeah.
So you just can't justify it. And then when you look at the strength of schedule, again, it just, you know, adds to it the argument. I mean, Georgia, we know Georgia's good. Oregon's right there. Utah, Oklahoma. But they still have a loss. And they're not great losses for most of those teams.
Yeah. And so, again, some interesting game scores. 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. It's LSU, Alabama. Tomorrow, Ohio State's got an early game again. Maryland, won't be much of a game. Penn State, Minnesota, though. Again, one of the early games tomorrow, number 5 and number 13.
Yeah, on at 11 o'clock. Penn State favored by 6.5. Minnesota just overextended themselves on a 7-year contract with their head coach to keep him around, hoping that they can do what they happened at Iowa with Hayden Fry and into the current regime, and at Wisconsin is having one coach for an extended period of time. Minnesota has flopped their coaches quite a few times in the last few years, and they're thinking they might have found the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying that that University of Illinois should have gone after Jerry Kill when he was at SIU before he headed to Minnesota.
And Jerry Kill is terrific, and I feel bad for him with his medical conditions, but he's a terrific coach and a terrific person, and I mean, he's done a wonderful thing for this profession, and I only want the best for him. But I know right now in Minnesota, they're happy with who they have, and a 7-year contract. for Minnesota. That is a tremendous, you know, commitment to one coach.
Yeah, and they're home, outdoor stadium in Minneapolis tomorrow. I mean, not that it doesn't get cold in Happy Valley, but it doesn't get Minnesota cold.
Not Minnesota cold. It does not. You know, the 2:30 slot, man, tomorrow's a great day for football. The Alabama hosting LSU. It's a neutral site game. Alabama favored by 6, which is interesting that Alabama has such a they're picked to win on a 6-point favorite. I don't know. The way LSU's playing, I think they have a chip on their shoulder. This is going to be a very, very good game. Gonna TiVo this one because we're going to be in the middle of the Bronze Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be a fun one. And I tell you, right on the other channel, Iowa-Wisconsin. What a good game in the Big Ten. And I think one worth watching.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting looking up and down this week. Of course, I always bring up the Pac-12. You're a West Coast guy. And looking at this week, it's all gone. You got, is the WAC still there? Is that what San Diego State? Are they the WAC?
They're
You got number 24 San Diego State and Nevada. I mean, you got no Pac-12 teams even. I don't know if none of them are playing that are ranked, or are they all dropped out?
So last week it was the SEC bye week, and now this week is the kind of
Pac-12 bye week
where a lot of these teams are got the bye. Oregon sitting in the north, sitting at 8-1 on the season with their lone loss to Auburn early in the year, and Utah has kind of been the south with 8-1 record, probably staring down the Pac-12 championship game as well. USC just hired a new athletic director. Very curious to see what happens there as they got the guy out of Louisville. Will that cause their football coach to get pushed out? And there's whispers of Urban Meyer going to the West Coast.
Yeah, I've heard that. What do you think of that? I mean, because they've had enough problems. You know, the reason he's not at Ohio State anymore is because of some problems, but obviously a great recruiter and great coach.
Absolutely. It makes it interesting when you got a job like USC, which is one of the national marquee jobs that could be in the national contention every year, and they've been blundering. It will be interesting to see what shakes out in the next 2 months on the national landscape with that.
Knox College head football coach Damon Tomeo joins us. The battle for the Bronze Turkey tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock this time over in Monmouth, the Knox Prairie Fire and the Monmouth Fighting Scots. A lot of great college football coming up this weekend. Some really, really, really fun games. Let me ask you about, you mentioned the overtime and the college. Now, I actually like the rule that somebody's going to win the game. I like both teams getting possession. I don't like the NFL that it's sudden death. How do you feel about that?
No, I agree. You put the ball in the 25 in college football, and you get to pick who, like coin flip, for who gets the first or second possession, but both teams get a chance at it. On the third overtime period, you have to go for two. You can no longer just kick the extra point. Just, again, trying to end the game at that point. When you get to three overtimes, you really want the game to be over. My argument with the overtime, the way it's set up now, is all of those points count, even though you're basically neutralized it. So you can get some outlandish scores just because of overtime where two teams are scoring consistently back and forth. And I think they should just eliminate those yards and points and just keep the final possession be the one that's counted. But that's my little soapbox, end of the world. But, you know, we've played in overtime before 2 years ago against Cornell. It's exciting. I mean, you pick an end of the field and everybody's going to slide down that way and put the ball down the 25 and let's go.
Yep, absolutely. Makes it fun, that's for sure. Yeah. All right, well, let's shift gears a little bit to the professional ranks. Last night, okay, so the Packers lose to the Chargers. What got into San Diego? Because then they go and lose to the Raiders last night.
Yeah, you got to wonder on that. But again, I still think the game was home for Oakland. Yeah. But 26-24, those are kind of almost pick 'em games at the end there. I'm not sure there's much there with either team, but it's going to happen. You're going to drop a game. Look at the Patriots. Yeah. You're going to drop a game that you kind of shake your head on. Like Knox Cornell, you're going to drop a game. You're going to shake your head at going, what do we do there? And we got to play a little bit better.
All right. Well, so this weekend, it's hard. You got 7-1 Saints, 1-7 Falcons. You got, one of them that kind of stood out to me, partly because of the way the Steelers have come on, 5-3 Rams, 4-4 Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Yep. Sure. That's in the afternoon slot. Game's 3:30 kick time. But the Rams, the way the Rams are playing, they're still 5-3. They're probably better than their record is showing. 3.5-point favorite. Should be all Rams as they travel to Pittsburgh this week.
Any games stand out for you this weekend on the NFL side of things?
Sure. The Patriots got a bye week this week. Yeah. I think Saints at Atlanta, isn't that exciting with a 13.5-point favorite for the Saints?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Packers. I think the Packers-Carolina game, 6 points. Can the Packers cover that? That seems a bit high for them, but they are at Lambeau, and it's this time of year where they do play well outside, and Carolina will have the struggles with that. Minnesota at Dallas is another one that people are pointing at for this division. 3-point favorite for the Dallas team. Minnesota's been playing pretty well here in the stretch. So there's a couple of decent games there. I was joking about the Saints. That's really 13.5-point
crazy.
That's crazy.
That doesn't happen too often. Well, no. I guess we're talking West Coast, though. That probably the game of the week is Monday night.
Well, Monday night's not a bad one. Seattle at San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 6, which seems a lot to me that they're favored that heavy. I know they're at home, but that just seems like a lot of points. If it said, 2, 3, 3.5, I'd be like, okay. And San Francisco is the 3-1 favorite on that game. So, gosh, that's hard. But, go on a limb. Take the team up in the Northwest. Take Seattle. Give 6. See what happens on that one.
Yeah. Let's see. Bears, Lions, I actually, they're 3-5, 3-4. I actually, as horrible as the Bears have been, I thought, well, maybe they'll play slightly better, and the Lions aren't any good either. So I actually went with the Bears. But assuming Lions are, well, no, were the Bears
they're not gonna,
at home?
They're not going to let you out of this building. You're saying you're not picking the Bears. Don't you just automatically pick the Bears?
I haven't. I didn't last week. I made the right pick. I went with Carson Wentz.
There you go. the pick'em game. They've moved the point line in this game a little bit this last week. It's now sitting at 2.5. It's gone everywhere from above 3 to almost down to 2. So the betting line has moved. It's kind of interesting. 42 points over under this week for the Bears. Going to be a low scoring affair. Chicago is picked to win, but I'd take Chicago and give the 2.5.
All right. So Bears and Lions and I don't know, dumpster fire games.
You got the bottom five, that
New York battle.
Oh my gosh. Redskins, Dolphins, Bengals, Falcons, Jets. You add them up together and you have 4 wins in the NFL.
Yeah,
with 5 teams. That is, it's amazing to see that it's that bad. And Miami just doesn't care, which I can appreciate that. They finally got a win on the season because they played the Jets.
Right.
But there were other ones I just shaking my head on.
I'd like to be with Giants or Jets dealing with New York media. 2-7 Giants, 1-7 Jets. And
that's got to be a tough time.
Yep, absolutely.
You wish you had the Bill Belichick ability with the media and just kind of blow them off.
Yeah, but and don't really care. Don't really care
about the media. Yeah, that's a tough one. But still, it's a top-heavy, bottom-heavy league. It's a weird bell curve this year, displacement of wins and losses in the NFL with 5 teams struggling so badly.
Knox College head football coach Damon DeMayo joining us. The battle for the Bronze Turkey tomorrow afternoon over at Monmouth this time around. Knox and Monmouth, 1 o'clock kickoff there. Still a few local high school teams. The Blue Bullets continue to roll, and they'll be at home tomorrow. And if they win and Sterling Newman wins, which you would think Newman would probably win, Knox will be at home again next week.
Now, I might pick the other way. Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, or GCMS, as they like to be known, that is a good team this year, and I think they are going to win. So that'll be an interesting setup. Knoxville is great. All these games are on Saturday now, so it's going to conflict with the Bronze Turkey game. But Knoxville has a good shot there with Watsika. We have a player on our team from Watsika who's got some inside lines, and they don't feel very good about their matchup with Knoxville. So good luck to the Bullets. Kewaunee, AW, still rolling. They got Forest in this week, so another good local team playing. Princeton's still involved in round 2, as is Farmington. Eureka still playing. Kewaunee's still playing. IVC still playing. Kankakee's still playing. I love it. Round 2, we got a lot of local teams still playing. But in the interesting one I found is in 6A. East St. Louis has to come up to Rocky Saturday afternoon for a game. East St. Louis is one of the best teams in 6A.
Yeah.
What will Rocky do? That is one I want to keep track of and see how that one ends up.
Yeah, because if winner of Peoria High, Oaklawn Richards, plays the winner of that game next week.
Yeah, we could have Rocky versus Peoria, and that would be interesting as well.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, Coach, always appreciate your insight, and best of luck in the 131st Battle for the Bronze Turkey tomorrow.
Look forward to seeing everybody out at that school out west in red at 1 o'clock kickoff.